Log Talk Radio.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto, and he's pressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Badass, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, the jungle fight is serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do, but all I seen was black and blue. Soldiers showing love.
I got a chair right here.
Okay, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio all over the nation. We're excited to be on Blog Talk this afternoon on a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. We're going to be talking about boundaries and personal boundaries, and I'm going to ask our producer, why did you pick that today?
I picked, you know, the importance of setting boundaries today mainly because I've come to realize that there's different boundaries for each type of relationship that you have, you know, like such as you have certain boundaries in the workplace, you have certain boundaries between you and your friends, you have certain boundaries between you and your parents, and each one of those is different, and it's important for us to really be aware of what those boundaries are and what's appropriate and what's inappropriate.
Okay, so what is inappropriate?
Have you ever had that person that comes just 2 inches from your face when they're talking to you? You can smell the rotting tooth in the back of their mouth or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, they come just a little too close for comfort and you don't really even know their first name. You know, that's a boundary issue for most people.
So that's getting too close. That's getting into your space. That's connecting too close to you, and so that's a boundary issue.
Yeah, they say I was looking at some of the stuff online, and they say in general most people prefer their personal bubble, is what it's referred to quite a lot. To about 2.5 to 3 feet.
Okay, so how do you? What about this email boundaries?
Well, email, you know, emails is a touchy thing. You know, it depends on if it's with coworkers, you need to keep it strictly business. No inappropriate racial stuff, no inappropriate sexual stuff, because you never know what your coworker is thinking. And if that's not a level of relationship that they feel that you guys are on, that's going to be a big issue. So emails are very touchy. You know, if you don't know the person very well, just leave it to general stuff.
So the definition of a boundary is the ability to know where you end and where another person begins. When we talk about needing space, setting limits, or determining acceptable behavior, we're really talking about boundaries. Boundaries can be a difficult concept to grasp because they aren't something that we can see, and sometimes they aren't questionable. But just because we can't see them, it doesn't mean that they aren't there or that they aren't important. Boundaries are present whenever a person or department interfaces with another person or department. So, so you have boundaries. What are boundaries and why are they important? Boundaries are important because they define the limits and responsibilities of the people with whom you interact with. And they clearly define boundaries allows an organization to work more effectively. So you're working somewhere and you don't know the boundaries, what happens?
Probably with most companies, you get a warning and then a written warning and fired if you keep on crossing those boundaries and you can't seem to figure it out.
Okay, so setting proper boundaries can result in a sense of accountability for all the staff people, especially in your jobs and where you work and doing the kind of work that you do. That's important. Job responsibilities can be more precisely assigned and job performance can be more accurately measured. And boundaries are important to maintain good productivity and social dynamics within the workplace. So in order to have social dynamics, it means we're friends. Well, if you start putting your hand on my knee or you start rubbing my shoulders and all that, then you're coming out of a boundary. What do? A guy comes in the office, he sees the back turned, you're working, and he just kind of puts his hand on your shoulders and giving you a little massage. He's not really trying to, you know, but he's just trying to say, you know, I really like you. You've been talking to him at lunch, and you've been having a nice lunch with him, and you guys are really cool, and you share stuff with him about your family and your kids, and you're coming out. He's just saying, you know, he knows you've had a hard day, and he knows you've been, you know, it's been kind of rough, and he just kind of comes up and rubs your shoulders. What does that mean?
You know, I...
Is that out of a boundary, or is it...
Definitely out of boundaries at the workplace.
Okay.
You know, because I've had that happen before, you know, in the past, where somebody's, you know, just come up and rub my shoulders or giving me a back massage. And, you know, I love back massage as much as the next person, but it's not comfortable at work.
Right.
Because it's not a relaxing setting. Work is not meant to be kicked back, relaxed, and, you know, I hate to say it, work is work, and it's pretty much meant to be stressful. So, I mean, I'm not going to be able to relax with, it doesn't matter who rubbing my shoulders at work. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's not appropriate.
So we know that boundaries can cause unhealthy work environment and lead to poor performance. Why do you think it leads to poor performance?
Because people are uncomfortable. They're always, if the boundaries are being crossed, then they're always worried about what's going to come next and what is going to happen. And, you know, they're just always watching who's coming. You know, is this person going to push it? And if they just, instead of concentrating on work, they're concentrating on other stuff.
So it also builds low morale. So low morale, how does it build low morale?
Because I think it breaks down people's self-esteem when you're constantly breaking boundaries that they set. If they're telling you, you know, stay this far away from me, and you're constantly just not listening, that's showing them a lack of respect, and that's bringing their feelings down lower.
So it does present disrespectful staff, disrespect for the staff, and also can involve acts of violence, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So somebody can say, man, I told you don't touch me. Why are you doing that, man? I'm going to bust your head. Oh, I'm going to call my man.
Yeah.
My man come up here and bust your head. Oh, I'm going to call my wife. Never come up here and bust your dome. You know, it can cause acts of violence. So it also reduces the motivation to take an additional task or responsibility. So how could that happen? Why would it make you, somebody coming to your boundaries makes you want to do less work?
Because you're constantly... Well, you know, it's not just necessarily physical boundaries either. If your boss is crossing boundaries and constantly pushing, you know, projects and whatever and just too much to handle, that may just cause the employee to just be like, you know what, I'm done. I'm just going to sit here, you know, because they just don't know what to do anymore. And not only are they being asked to do, you know, their job, but multiple other people's jobs.
I think so many times, you know, have you ever been out in somewhere in public and somebody or somewhere out and somebody you didn't even know? I've seen people, you know, put their hands on people. Have you ever been somewhere and somebody touched you that you're like, dude, have you ever been anywhere in public somebody touched you or put their arms around you?
Absolutely.
And what did you do?
They almost got hit.
And why did they almost
you know,
get hit,
because,
not really get hit?
Because I'm a nonviolent person. I really did want to hit them, but I just fight. So, you know, I turned around and I was like, what is your problem? And he had no response for what he had done. I said, you know, that's just not even cool. I don't even know you. You know, and I walked away, and that's all I did. I mean, I don't know really what else I could have done other than hit the guy, but I wasn't going to start a fight with a man, you
right.
know?
Right, and that's not good. So going into people's boundaries is also workplace bullying, and overworked employees, that causes some dysfunction in there, and then also It causes sexual harassment suits. People begin to do that. And also there's legal liability when you go into somebody's boundaries. And so you have to watch out for that. Now, the job responsibility boundaries, job responsibility boundaries are generally established by your boss and help to define your basic responsibilities and reporting relationships. They also help to establish accountability. For employees, professional boundaries become more clearly defined. And when you can answer these questions satisfactorily, who gives you your assignments? To whom do you report? Who gives you feedback? Who sets your work priorities? How is your company and client personal information kept secure? Do you know how to treat all staff members and consumers fairly without positive or negative feelings influencing your decisions? Questions help employees understand their work role and boundaries. So if you know all these things, then you can avoid clearly not being in your boundaries. And I think it's important that when you take a job, that's why it's so important to lay all the rules down, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And sometimes people bring people on, they don't lay the rules down.
Nope.
And they need to do that. They have to do that.
Because
if they don't do that, they can't get the work done.
Yes.
So I think it's critical that we learn how to do that, and not only learn how to do that, but educate our employees on their responsibility of understanding these boundaries and the value of these boundaries. Now, there's some tips for setting boundaries at work. Respectfully and tactfully tell people the effect their behavior has on you. Once a boundary has been set, let others know when they have violated it. For instance, if a coworker says, "I'll call you later tonight to discuss this project," you can simply say, "Please don't call me after 6 p.m. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means after 6, I'm done.
Yeah.
So don't call me at 2 in the morning. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm just calling.
You're going to talk to me about work at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right. Now, see, I got to admit, I violate that sometimes. You know, I'll forget somebody's texting me a question, and I'll text back. Like, I'll get done working, like, at 10 or 11 or something, and I'll text back and say, "Oh, okay, yeah." But I won't. And then sometimes if it's a guy, I'll call him at midnight. I'll call, you know, I mean, I won't call any females, you know, like that, but I'll call some of the guys. But I might call some of my coworkers and just say, "Hey, don't forget this or don't forget that."
At 5
o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I'll do that. So you have to understand those boundaries, and sometimes it's hard to understand it based upon the work you do.
Yeah,
those boundaries are different.
You know, yeah, exactly. You know, you really just have to. That's why boundaries are such a thin line, because each type of work is different. You know, when we have a boss like you that works 24/7 and you constantly have stuff on your mind, and we all pretty much expect for you to either text us reminders or, you know, a call at random times. But when you're like the CEO of some company downtown and, you know, you've got an assistant, you're not going to call your assistant at, you know, 10 o'clock at night for some project that needs to be worked on tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And ask for what you need. For example, if you are nearing your workload limit and do not have the tools necessary to complete your job, enlist the help of a supervisor. So that's important. And when boundaries have been violated, address the issues as soon as possible in a clear, controlled, and positive manner. We got a caller on that has a few things to say, and so we're going to go right to 3392.
Hello.
You welcome to Blog Talk Radio. How you doing?
Is it? Oh.
Did you have a response, sir? Hello? 3392. Okay. They got off of the radio. But why don't you talk a little bit about the tips?
All right. Let's see. When boundaries have been violated, address the issue as soon as possible in a clear, controlled, and positive manner. I think he may have already said that, but that is, like, probably one of the best things to do, because if you address it in the wrong way, you could set off a whole other load of issues. Not only could it hurt somebody's feelings, they could, you know, snap. Maybe they have some type of mental issue and they, you know, come back with 15 guns for some reason. But, you know, you always want to be positive about it and make sure that everything is in the right manner. You want to be polite about, you know, and respectful about telling people that what they're doing is not okay. And also be available to discuss differences of views so that the compromise can be achieved. And, you know, that's really the goal of the whole thing. You know, if somebody's pushing your boundaries, you want them to stop. They want to be, you know, comfortable or whatever for some reason they were pushing your boundaries. But, you know, there should be an in-between where both parties can accept the issue. Some interpersonal boundary parameters are like the tone that people use with one another. Like, some people have boundary issues with the tone that they use. They might come at you real angry, or they might always come at you soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And that's more like a boundary issue. When somebody comes at you and they've always got attitude, doesn't that kind of feel like it's pushing your boundaries?
Well, you know, it's not only pushing your boundaries, but it's making it hard, you know, for you to have a relationship. You know, you can't have a relationship with somebody with an attitude. You really can't. You talk to someone and they're looking mean, they're talking crazy. You can't build a relationship on that.
They say they don't have an attitude. It's all in just the tone. And that's why, you have to teach people that tone does make a difference. The way you say stuff, you know, those certain words that you emphasize in the sentence, you know, they set the whole entire conversation.
Okay, so then you talked about...
I just hit that first one.
The
right
tone?
There.
Okay,
yeah.
Then the attitude and approach coworkers use with each other. That's important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then the ability to focus on work objectives even with people you do not like or with whom you have differences, opinions, and beliefs. You know, and, you know, that's a tough one because some people say, you know, if I don't like you, I just don't like you. I'm not going to talk to you. That's not going to work in an environment where you're around people. You have to be able to get along with people that you don't like. And, Erica, you've been here for a long time. You've had a lot of people come through here that you like most of them. But there have been people.
I've gotten along with probably every single one that has walked through this door except for two people out of the whole time, year and a half I've been here. And, you know, there's a lot of people coming in and out of this door, and we get a lot of different personalities. But my thing is I always try and find a common ground with people. I've always treated people with respect, with kindness. You know, that's one thing that my mom always ingrained into my head, and I say it all the time. My mom, always taught me, no matter how much they are mean to you, you kill them with kindness. You know, they can be the meanest person in the world, and as long as you're nice to them, you're being the better person, and you're showing them that, you know, whatever you say really doesn't matter to me, because I'm going to be me.
And so, so employees often set specific policies surrounding interpersonal boundaries. Example may include limiting work conversations and emails to appropriate topics. No sexual or personal topics. You know, people come to work, they spend their time, they get on Facebook, they say personal stuff, they get on their phones, they're texting. You know, technology is totally different now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally out of boundary with this stuff. And it makes it hard for a manager, a supervisor, or a business owner to really conduct business in a workplace. How do you do that in the new millennium, in 2013? How do you do that without firing people?
You know, my sister's job will fire you if you bring your cell phone on the floor. And, you know, that's mainly for security reasons because she's a collection agent. But, you know, there's a lot of places that don't allow you to have your cell phone on you at work. I mean, you're there for work. You're not there to socialize with your friends over Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever it is. You know, you're there to work. So I think, you know,
but you know, people do it, and then you know they get warned about it constantly. You're on the internet playing. You know, you're playing those casino games. People are doing it all over everywhere. They're checking their Facebook. They're doing that, and you know, it's you know, you see people click. You walk in the door, you see them click real quick. They let you know that they're on something they shouldn't be on. What should a boss do? Should he just get upset and just start terminating people, or what should he do?
The only thing I could say is, you know, block it off. That would be, you know.
So just block people out of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's unfortunate, but
it needs to be done. I'm glad you said that. Thank you. Okay, no hanging of offensive or religious photographs in your office. So I get with the offensive, but what's wrong with a religious photograph in your office? I don't.
Well, you know, a lot of corporate companies, I think, is they're kind of aiming that at. Obviously, you know, if your organization or company is religious or religion-based or anything like that, if you all believe, you know, in the same thing, then I see no problem with that. That wouldn't be pushing anybody else's boundaries. But if you're walking up into, you know, the American Express building and, you know, everybody's got Jesus signs and you're Muslim, I think that they would probably feel a little uncomfortable. So I think they keep that in, you know, to a minimum.
Okay, and so personal boundaries. There are three types of personal boundaries. One is a physical boundary, two is a mental boundary, and three is an emotional boundary. Physical boundaries refer to the area directly around a person that he or she considers a territory domain. This is generally 2.5 to 3 feet. So if I get closer to 3 feet from you, you're like, oh, whoa, dude, you out of my boundary, right?
Yeah.
But if you like somebody, you'd be like, hey, you know, like, get up in my boundary, come on, get up in the boundary.
Like, that bubble's okay to pop that one.
Yeah, you can pop that bubble, okay. Now, a mental boundary includes a person's beliefs, thoughts, and decisions, and choices.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So, and then emotional boundaries, it refers to a person's self-esteem and feelings.
Like breaking somebody down. That's not
right.
Cool.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that I believe is that emotional boundaries are important. A lot of people, that's what they thrive on. How to break you down, how to tear you down, how to rip you apart. And it's just not cool at all. So, here's some things to ponder as you begin to take stock in your own culture. How close do you usually stand from a friend while talking? You know, in the African American community, we give hugs, man. We'd be all up in your boundary.
I found that out when I started working here.
Right. I mean, we're like
family here.
Right. So if we have to act like this, people would feel bad. Like, you know, and people come in our office and they're so happy to get a hug.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy. They are excited that, oh, man, I love hugs.
But that's the type of organization we are.
But
but if you walked into, again, the American Express building and your coworker jumps up and tries to give you a big old hug, you're going to go, what are you doing? You know, everybody's little cubicles around there looking at you and I was like, whoa. You know, they're not going to look at that as normal. They're looking at that as you guys must be having some type of a relationship if you're just going to get up and hug in the office like that.
Right. And then how much eye contact is too much? What do you feel if somebody just looking at you? How long should they look at you before you say that's too much eye contact?
Usually I get just kind of a an uneasy feeling. Like, what are you looking at me like that for? And that's exactly what I'll ask them. I'll be like, why are you giving me that look? And 90% of the time they're like, what look? And I'm like, you've been looking at me like that for like 2-3 minutes now. What's going on? What are you thinking about? You know, so that's usually when it gets to be a little iffy for me.
So when showing someone or someone what to do with a point, a gesture or with a finger or whatever, that can be too much. And so you want to be careful of that. Like, hey, why are they pointing at me? Why is that person pointing? You know, that could be a boundary thing. External boundary violations. Staying in somebody's face or space. Touching, getting into his or her belongings or living space. Listening to his and her personal. Sorry, finish the rest of it.
Listening to his or her personal conversation, not allowing a person to have privacy or violating a person's right to privacy, exposing others to contagious disease, and smoking around non-smokers in a non-smoking area. That is a huge boundary violation
for a lot of people.
That's a
health boundary area. Indicating by word or deed that another person is worthless. That is a boundary area. Yelling or screaming, ridiculing or making fun of another, lying, breaking a commitment for no reason, attempting to control or manipulate another, being sarcastic, interrupting. That's a boundary. You know, interrupt somebody. That is a boundary. You know.
I'm so sarcastic, so I break probably tons of people's boundaries, but nobody ever says anything to me about it.
Well, probably they won't because they don't want to say anything because you're a boundary breaker. You know, some people do that. Okay, and the answer is by conducting yourself professionally at all times, from the moment you meet your client and every day thereafter, or people you meet, dress appropriate in non-revealing attire. Man, if you go through the hood, ain't nobody, I mean, they showing booty, they showing everything.
Uh-huh.
They got on them tights and everything, just bam, is out there. And so how can you, you know, so this is, you know, and you say, well, but that's, we're talking about the office, but now they're bringing that to the office.
Yeah, that's a big old boundary no-no. That's why dress codes, I think, need to be, you know, agreed upon and let known to everyone in the office organization. If you're, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my kids are going to have dress codes once they get to the age of picking out their own outfits. You know, it's just, it's something that people are uncomfortable sometimes when you come in and you're wearing next to nothing in this restaurant and you're eating around, you know, everybody else. And it's just, it's like, wow. And then the kids are looking at you like, why is that woman like half naked? Or why is that man like running around like that? You know, so it just, it's really uncomfortable for a lot of people.
So one of the things is that we noticed that some suggestions are, greet clients with a handshake, not a hug, high five, or a fist bump. Man, you're talking about everything you don't do. You do, like, this is the hood stuff, man. We supposed to be fist bumping and high fives. I mean, you know, I mean this.
I think I looked up the white boundaries.
I don't know, you know. But these boundaries clearly mean that we can't do what we do in the community and do the work we do in the community. You listen to Blog Talk Radio. I really want to thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio and remind you that we'll be at the Center for Fathering at Tuesday at 5 o'clock to do our work. We'll also be doing our best to make sure that you can get the connections you need to be a better father, to be in a better relationship. We want you to be there and to be a part of that. I know one thing for sure, it's been a real pleasure to be with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Erica, thank you very much.
Part two next week.
Next week.
We've got much more on the boundaries. That's just one topic.
But we'll be talking about that, and we want to bring all the Mad Dad staff on for next week to talk about boundaries and what you can do and how you can make a difference. Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Mad Dads all over the country.
M-A-D-D-A-D-S. Men against destruction, cause you know that we are blessed. Fathers of the ghetto ain't expressing nothing less. From the north to the south, to the east, to the west. Mad Dads, how you feel? On the streets, we keep it real. Day and night, in jungle fighting serious. I'm so for real. Tell me what was I to do. All I seen was knocking blue. So just showing love.
Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. It's been a pleasure. Any last comments before we go?
Nope. Nope.
No, you're not supposed to say no. You're not supposed to say no. But anyway.
Have a good week, y'all. God, take care of yourself.
God bless you.